Our scripture reading is Joshua 5, verses 9 through 12, and it's found on page 337 in your pew Bible. And yes, please sit. This is what the Lord says. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The worship team, we have a special guest also from the Springs, Carol, who's brought us some treats, and I know that all of you work very hard to make Sundays special in a lot of different ways, so thank you. Our second reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, and it's from chapter 15, just verses 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is the word of the Lord. When I was maybe 11 or 12 years old, my family and I attended a family reunion in Orlando, and it was my grandparents' anniversary, and so our whole family came, and I remember just a little bit of things from that time. One of my aunts ordered matching t-shirts, as one does sometimes when you have kids and grandkids and when you have a big group going to Orlando or a place like that where someone can be easily lost. So they were for two reasons, right? One, so we would not get lost, and the other, so that we would be identified as belonging together. They were white, and they all said Lytle Family Reunion on them, little crest or whatever. I remember going to Disney World, I remember going to Epcot. I don't remember a whole lot more, and my memories now mostly come from our photo albums, right, of those times that we were together. Especially from the photo where all of us are pictured in our t-shirts, except for about four people who refused to wear the matching t-shirt and to belong, right? An aunt and an uncle and their kids. There's always one of these sets in a family, for sure, and we've talked about it ever since. In today's world, there's a great deal of discussion about who is out and who is in, who belongs and who does not belong. We do this in families, clearly. We do this in communities. We see it on TV and in our media all the time, of course. It's a human instinct. And we've even done it in churches from time to time. Some of you here, some of you online, you may have left a church at a time or left some kind of similar group because you didn't feel that you belonged. And some of you may even have had suggested to you, you don't belong here, or you don't belong here. And that's a lot of pain. So I ask that as we pray together now, you remember a little bit about what that felt like, if that's happened to you. Let's pray. Lord, we desire to be a community who is welcoming not only to those who believe like us, but also those who are searching for you or for meaning in their lives and supportive community. And we pray, Lord, as your church, we learn from the scripture today. We consider our responses, our actions, and words towards those with whom we disagree or who are different from us. And likewise, Lord, may we realize we are welcome. We are loved. We are found by you. And we belong. I pray, Lord, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we continue to go through the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 15 of this Gospel begins with some contrasting pairs of people who are listening to Jesus teach. So if you have a Bible with you or maybe your device, in verse 1, the tax collectors and the sinners, they're always divided like that, were gathered around Jesus. And these are the folks you just really wouldn't be hanging out with. One of our kids would call them kind of sketchy people. And the tax collectors, of course, made a living exploiting people for their own profit. But Jesus, it said, hung out with all of these people, all these sketchy people, all these, I heard, sus people from Jason. There are certain people who are not only natural leaders, it's just so easy to follow them, but they're also warm and hospitable and accepting of people, and Jesus was definitely one of those leaders. So we're told all the tax collectors and sinners were there to hear him because there was something captivating about him, but also because they didn't feel judged, they didn't feel shunned from community, they felt welcomed, and those sketch people, of course, knew that they felt different around Jesus and they were treated differently from him than from others. Jesus had even chosen a tax collector, right, to be a disciple, and he had even dined at Matthew's house. Verse 2 lists the contrasting other set of people who were there listening to Jesus that day, and it's the Pharisees and the scribes. I always picture them kind of like this in the back, I don't know. Well, they were muttering, it says, otherwise known as kind of gossiping amongst themselves while Jesus taught, and just talking over him and criticizing whatever he was doing and whoever he was hanging out with. Have you ever seen anyone mutter in church? Of course you have. Yes. In the Pharisees' minds, speaking with these people, hanging out with these people, would make Jesus even worse than any of these sinners that he was associated with. The scribes and the Pharisees were doing exactly as we've talked about through this series of a few weeks, deciding and defining and categorizing for themselves who was in and who was out and who belonged and who didn't, right? Those binaries we've been looking at, those contrasting words. Who was lost and who was found? Ask a Pharisee, they'll tell you every time. We aren't really told what prompted Jesus to tell this story, but he had a way of course, knowing what needed to be said and when to say it, and so he actually told three stories in a row here while he was teaching. He concluded with the prodigal son. Of course, you're all familiar with that. And after that comes Zacchaeus. We're going to be talking about Zacchaeus next week, by the way. So he began with what appeared to be a rhetorical question, Jesus did. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country? And, you know, wouldn't you go after the lost sheep until you found it again? I was trying to picture how I would feel and how I would answer if I were standing there listening to Jesus. And I think this is confusing, because if you were wealthy enough to own 100 sheep, which would be, I love animals, that would be wonderful, 100 sheep. Why would you go after just one, right? Of course, putting all of the others at risk of being lost or maybe being hurt. I apologize in advance. Now we're going to hear a story about Scout, my dog. I've told you about my kids and parents and things, but you have not heard about one fellow, and that is Scout. And no, we don't have a picture. We'll save that for another time. He is our pandemic dog. And recently, this was just a couple of months ago, I was home with one of our daughters alone, and I couldn't find Scout. Scout's a, they say, he's a rescue. He's a pointer Australian shepherd or maybe Australian cattle dog mix. He's really smart. I couldn't find him. I looked in every room. I looked in my son's room where he just kind of sleeps in the dark on the rug. We looked in our bedroom. I looked in, you know, a bathroom. I looked in every closet, every little place I could find in our house, and I couldn't find him. I went out back. I yelled for him. It was so strange. He wasn't answering. He didn't come running. Usually that means he's hiding. Then I went upstairs and got Becca and said, I can't find Scout. And she saw that panic, and she's like, I'm sure he's hiding. She looked in all of those same rooms and places, and she also could not find the dog. She verified I wasn't losing my mind. She also couldn't find him. By about that time, we start to panic. I'm sure some of you have been there before. I kind of wandered into the backyard and thought, well, how could he get out? And I looked around. I was so confused. I even kind of went behind the fence and couldn't find him at all. And she went out front, and she kind of started yelling in the front, you know, down the street. We live really close to 170th, which gets very busy, a lot of cars. So I had a lot of fear at that moment. By about 20 minutes into this, which is a very long time for a dog who is just a natural escape artist and has, you know, PTSD and all kinds of things because he's a rescue, 20 minutes is a long time. I went out front, we were hollering for him, and my phone rang. And this woman said, hi, I'm here at my house, and there is a really cute dog sitting in my front yard who was looking through our window at me and my dogs and my children, like wanting to be part of us. Are you missing your dog? Wow. Scout had escaped. He had gone to find another family, and it was hard to leave those two little girls, I'm sure, who was part of that other family. You know, if you're a parent or a grandparent or a pet owner, you know that panic when you lose your child, maybe you lose your pet, someone who you really care for, and the realization sinks in that they're lost. And I kind of wonder if that's how that sheep owner felt that day. Because in Jesus' story, what he says is when he found that little sheep, he joyfully put him around his shoulders and his feet and his legs are hanging down and goes home. And then what does he do? I didn't do this. He calls all his neighbors and friends to come over and to celebrate that this one has been found over a lost sheep. And then Jesus makes the connection in verse 7. He says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. This is the joy that our Creator, our Lord, experiences when one of just takes one of us to come to Him. and to repent and to accept that relationship with the one who created us. There's repentance there. There's like a turning back to Jesus in each of these three stories that he tells in a row that day. Now, I've lost a lot of things. I'm sure I lost something today. I can't even remember what it was now. Fortunately, I often have help finding things now, but I mean, I lose things all the time. But this is a different feeling than when you've lost your car in the parking garage, been there, right? Or you've left your credit card maybe at a store or something like that. That's a little bit different because God, our Father, created us to have a relationship with the Lord. And so to turn to God and to receive that gift through Jesus Christ, I can't imagine that kind of joy, much more than a car or a credit card, that joy that the Lord feels. There's something else that these three stories have in common. The second one's of a poor widow. Luke uses stories about women, which I love. She rejoices when she finds her coin. And like the sheep owner, she also calls her neighbors and her friends over to party. I think once I find a credit card or find my car or whatever, we have those reasons to party. Then in the third story, of course, the parable of the prodigal son, what happens when the son returns? That's a really, really big deal. We all know that story. The party begins at verse 22. They kill the fattened calf. They eat. They celebrate. The son is clothed in the finest of garments, and they just have a great celebration that he has been found. And this, Jesus is illustrating, is how he receives sinners and how he receives all of us. He removes barriers. He doesn't kind of stand aside or stand back and create them. He saves a seat at the table for each one of us and all of those who are not here and all of those online and all of those who haven't thought about going to a church or even praying or something like that in a really long time. And then he calls everyone to rejoice with him. The late Frederick Buechner, whom I love his writing, he was a Presbyterian pastor and author. He writes this when it comes to our God who parties. He says, God is the cosmic shepherd who gets more of a kick out of that one lost sheep once he finds it again than out of the 99 who had the good sense not to get lost in the first place. He says, God is the eccentric host who, when the country club crowd all turn out to have other things more important to do than come live it up with him, goes out into the skid rows and soup kitchens and charity wards and brings home a freak show, he says. I have a friend who used to tell me she had been criticized for what she wore to church. This was a different church. And she didn't know that she could dress the way she dressed and wear boots, as it happens, until she saw me preaching in the pulpit with boots on. We are all a freak show. We're all the same. We're all in need of Christ. And he saves a seat at the table for all of us. And some of us here or at home have found the church is filled with Pharisees instead. I've visited a lot of churches in the last few years. I won't call people Pharisees, but there are churches where people seemingly have it a lot more together than I do. And we're lucky we've gotten through the day with the white dress, and a couple of you commented on that, and you know what? In the car on the way here, I thought, well, I have a robe if something happens and spills everywhere. Sometimes we just don't have it all together, do we? Often those who have stopped going to a church, and I've known several visiting patients over the years, well, they have a story exactly like that, where someone's made a comment because of the boots they wore, or the jeans they wore, or the coffee they brought in, or something like that. When this sheep owner finds the lost sheep, he lifts him in the air and he tucks him over both of his shoulders and he hangs onto his legs and he calls together all of his friends and his family to rejoice and to celebrate. Now, Scout, our dear Scout, we have enough stories of our dog getting lost or running away truly to fill every parable that Jesus had and to make those points for you. He has like 9 lives. Scout spends a lot of time in our backyard and he gets really dirty and he gets really stinky and, you know, this time of the year it's really muddy and all those things. And so in contrast to that sheep owner, when we welcome in our animal, we don't stick them here. We're busy scrubbing off the mud and the dirt and wiping down the rain and trying to keep that stink and that smell and that mess away from us and from our surroundings and our home, right? So that it's not muddy. We try to keep that mess separate. Separate from where we live and separate from us when he's dirty. Well, Jesus invites that mess right in. It's a messy thing, believing that God is much bigger than our categories and our descriptions and our expectations and our definitions of God and our understandings, certainly. It's a very messy thing, created to all be different from one another, and allowing Christ to bridge that gap between us in our differences and maybe beliefs, certainly in what we wear and in our lives and what we've gone through. It's a messy thing for a church welcoming everyone, loving those who Jesus loved, welcoming them here at HPC and going out in the community and serving out there as so many of you do, with the realization that we all are messy and we all are exactly the same. Who is in and who is out? We are all lost and we are all a little bit of a mess, and Jesus welcomes each one of us. Amen.